You have your Bibles today and would like to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 15. I do like talking about Father's Day out of this passage of Scripture, and I'm sure that it's very familiar to most, and I like having an example. Amen. That's the way that I learn. I learn by seeing. You know, by observing. And so when it comes to being a father, it's good to have an example. And here in this chapter is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's about the what we call the prodigal son. It's about three men, but you know, for a long time, I read this as talking about the son, that, you know, the prodigal son, the one that left home. And I heard people, and I've heard other preachers preach on that. I preached on the prodigal son, talking about how, you know, he done this, done that, and he decided to come home. I think I preached a message one time, six steps or seven steps away from the Father and seven steps back to the Father, or something like that. And then the next person that, you know, is the other son. He's the one that never left home. He was the quote-unquote faithful son. And he was always there and all that. And so I've heard people preach about him. But the one I like to preach about is the old daddy, the father. You know, I used to, before we got the shades on the windows, and when we had way back there when we had clear windows, you know, and I every Sunday I thought about this passage of Scripture. Because that window right back there, I could look out that window during the service and see a long way down Benville Road. And Brother Donnie, in my mind, I could see that father every day looking for his son to come home. You know, we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But the son, when he finally got to come to himself, he got to the house, he didn't have to go find the father. He found out that the father was watching for him. Not only was he watching for him when he got back home, because you might be here this morning thinking, well, I've got to do some things to be accepted back by the Father. I've gotten away from the Father. But you know what? The Bible says that while he was still a great way off, the Father saw him. That's a blessing to me. Now, I want to read the account. I do not believe that this is just some made-up story that the Lord put together to prove a point. I don't believe that any of the parables are made-up stories. I believe they're true account that Jesus knew about firsthand. Don't tell me that the God of the universe can't use actual illustration, but he has to make them up. I don't believe that. I believe that this was a real man with two sons, and you know, they're just as real as you and I are. And God was using them for an example. Remember, when you're studying parables, a parable means to take a natural story to reveal a spiritual truth. You got to be careful when you're doing parables, because you sometimes you can't make them stand on all fours. In other words, you examine them too close, it'll start breaking down. Amen? And here's the thing about parables, that unless the teller tries to explain every part of the parable, that parable is meant to tell one truth. And so we can talk about that later, but Jesus tells three parables here in this chapter. The one about the lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and one about the son or lost son. It begins like this. He's telling the story that there was a certain man had two sons. Verse 12, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his sustenance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. Can I just stop right there? Let me tell you something about this world. This world will promise you everything, but it will get you down to the lowest depths. Have you ever considered how low this young man had gotten? He was a Jewish boy, thought that the swine was unclean, and he was sent to the fields to feed the swine. Have you ever thought about how low that young man had to get to humble himself to that kind of a degree to actually feed the swine? But it even got worse. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to his want. Let me tell you something, folks. You get away from God, you get away from the Father, and you'll find yourself doing things you would have never dreamt you would do. You would get away, if you get away and leave the Father, you will get down as lower than you ever think you could go. Not only was he in the hog pen with the hog, he was rooting around in there eating their slop. Anyone in here ever raised hogs? Let me tell you something. Somebody told me one time a hog is the cleanest thing they ever seen. They ain't seen the hog pens I've seen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This young man not only tended to the swine, which he never thought he would do when he was at daddy's house, but here in verse 16, it says, and he would have starved to death. That's what that's talking about. If he had not been able to eat what the hogs were eating. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18. He does like a lot of good Baptists do. He began to devise a scheme to get back in the father's good graces. That's what he did. If you carefully read this and you look at what he was doing, whenever he decided that his existence was so bad, he decided to put a plan into motion. In verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son, or to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose. He put his plan into action. In verse 18 and 19, he made his plan. In verse 20, he puts it into action, and he arose and he came to his father's house. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here he is. He sees this little feller walking back to the house, no doubt beaten down, no doubt still dirty from spending time in the hog pen doing who knows what, and he had compassion on him. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. While he was still a great way off, Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to call thy son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, people can get so carried away arguing about the Bible. I've heard people talk about this ring and the fact that it was on the hand and the ring and all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. Don't get caught up in straining at gnats and swallowing camels. The Word of God is true. And you know, sometimes it's good to you get an understanding, but folks, let me tell you something. There's some things not worth arguing about. Whether it was a bracelet or a ring, that's, you know, I've heard people talk about, well, this is considered your hand, and I don't have time for all that. Y'all argue about that stuff y'all want to. But this is what the Word of God said. That He commanded His servants to bring forth the best robe and put it on Him, to put a ring on His hand and shoes on His feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son, was in the field. And as soon as he came home and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the older brother, the older son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Let me tell you what the parable of the prodigal son is really saying. Man, we got a good daddy that cares about us. That might be oversimplification, but what an example. Now, we talked a little bit about how the son did, the youngest son. You know, first thing that I come to or that I see here is that our Heavenly Father has a will for our life. Can I tell you something today? That God has a will for you and He has a purpose for your life. But you know, the will of God comes in two categories. It comes in the perfect will of God. That's a good thing to be in. But He also has a permissive will. Whenever I was about 14 years old, I had a little motorcycle. And like little boys, we went up to see my aunt up in Newton, Mississippi. And it was in the fall of the year. And it was right after they harvested the soybean. Back then, soybeans was big up there. Might still be, I don't know. But man, I was sitting there at that little motorcycle and I was looking at this big, wide open field that just was begging me to go ride in that field. I said, Dad, can I take my motorcycle in that field? He said, get to it, son. I jump on that little motorcycle and I get way back, just about out of sight of the house. You can still see it, but it looked real little. And I don't know how many of y'all have ever been in a freshly harvested soybean field that they harvested with them combines and all that. Well, what happens with that is all them soybean plants are still there. They're just chewed up and mixed in the mud. And that little motorcycle wheel was just picking up that mud. And that straw of them soybean plants just got caked up in that mud. And Brother Donnie, I got way back there and I wasn't coming home. That just locked it up. Pretty soon, here come my uncle and my dad and my uncle's little four-wheel drive Jeep. And let me tell you something. I left the house. I'm going on my motorcycle. I'm going to go have a good time and all this kind of stuff. Now, I know that's harmless kind of stuff compared to what this young man did here, but the idea is the same because, let me tell you, I took a shot in the pride back there because I wasn't going nowhere. My uncle and my dad picked my little motorcycle up and set it on the back of the truck, and we're coming and I'm not saying nothing. I was bragging about how I was going to go ride on that field and I was going to tear that field up. I wasn't bragging coming home. We get on toward the house and I said, Daddy, you knew that was going to happen, didn't you? He said, yeah, son, I knew that was going to happen. I said, well, why'd you let me do it? You see, this explains God's permissive will. Daddy said, well, son, if I told you couldn't do it, that would have just made you want to get out there with that little motorcycle that much more. Now, ain't that right, guys? Sometimes if we're told we can't do something, we're going to do it or bust. Sometimes God's permissive will are the things He allows us to do is to teach us a lesson. That was a long time ago. I ain't ever took my little motorcycle back out into another soybean field. I learned that lesson. Sometimes God's permissive will. Sometimes God will let us get out there and He'll let us get into things. And He'll let us get far out in the field. And sometimes them lessons are hard to learn. Look at what he learned real quickly, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Real quickly, he learned that the world will love you as long as things are going your way. Amen? You know what I'm thinking? About whenever I think about this, I'm thinking about Jonah. You know, when Jonah, he was told to go to a place where God wanted him to go, and he said, no, I'm not going that way. And instead of going to Nineveh, he went down to Joppa. And if I understand it right on the map, that's in two opposite directions. God convinced him he needed to go back the other way. But anyway, he went down to the ship, found the ship going to Joppa. He paid the fare thereof. He went down into his pocket and he paid the cost. Let me tell you something. Friendship with the world will cost you more than you want to pay. Jonah, whenever he went to sleep in the bottom of that ship and everything was going good, God prepared a storm, sent a storm. The men woke him up and said, look, you need to start praying to whatever God you believe in. And then Jonah started to confess. Now here's the thing. As long as they could, the men in that ship rowed hard to try to save Jonah. They didn't want to throw Jonah over, but let me tell you something. You listen to this little short fat preacher right here, the world will throw you overboard in a heartbeat when times get tough. They may try to tell you, young people, listen to me, that the world may try to tell you, the world may look good, the world may seduce you, the world may do all of this, but let me tell you, world is not your friend.
That's right.
Finally. I don't know how long it was that it took them, but they took Jonah by the nape of the neck, seat of the breeches, walked him to the edge of that boat, and threw him overboard. You know why? They didn't want no part of him. Amen? Now, this young man, he went to a far country. He had all the friends in town, was buying him rounds of drinks, no doubt, and doing all kind of things. And they loved him as long as the money was there. And now all of a sudden there's a famine rose up. He began to be in want, and he went to work for the pig farmer. And let me tell you, I thought of that often. Next thing I see about our Heavenly Father is our example. Sometimes He lets us learn lessons the hard way, and then I see His compassion. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't ever more proud to see that little Jeep coming to get me out of that predicament. Amen? Now, again, I want to tell you, I'm not saying being stuck in the back of a soybean field in Newton, Mississippi is the worst place you could be, but for a little 14-year-old boy with his motorcycle couldn't go nowhere, I was sure glad to see when that Jeep was coming there because I seen my daddy. This young man, whenever he come to himself, when he come to his senses, and you know, can I tell you something? I've never quit on church since I've been saved. Since I asked Jesus into my heart and I become a child of God, I never stopped coming to church. But let me tell you, I've been sitting right there in them pews, backslid 100 miles. You see, it's not where your bottom is sitting, it's where your heart is that makes a big difference. And I found this out. That is the same whether you're taking out on church and you staying home and you're doing this or you're doing that, or if you're in the church house and you backslide on the church pew. It's all the same. Because sooner or later you realize where you are. And then you make a plan. That's what this young man did. He said, I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to tell him that I'm no longer to be worthy to be called his son, and just make me as one of thy hired servants. Every time that I have been in a backslidden condition and I've decided to come back to the Father, I get up and I go to return to the Father, and Brother Donnie, I bump right into him because he's right there. Now, go through the story. He arises, he heads back to the house. On his way to the house, while he was still a great way off, the Bible says some things about the Father. In verse 20, and he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him. Can I tell you, there's other places in the Bible where it talks about that Jesus knew where the disciples was in times of trouble. A couple of times, we read about how they were in the middle of the night. They was out on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm come up, and Jesus came to them, and He walked to them on the water, or that He was with them in the boat, and He was asleep in the boat, and a storm come up, and He always knew where the disciples were. Can I tell you something? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your spiritual condition is. That God knows where your little boat is at all times. It could be pitch black around you. You know, I won't take just a second here. I didn't mention about that Navy ship that got hit and what was it, 7 men they found dead. And we want to pray for our Navy folks, our military folks. But that happened at night, you know. And if you've ever been out on the water in a boat, it doesn't have to be a big Navy ship, but just on a boat in general in the middle of the night, it's dark out there. But even in the blackest of night, Jesus still knew where his disciples were. He decided to go back to the Father. He turned around. The Father was right there. He was watching for him. I could just see that. I could just see this in my mind. I don't know about this, so I'm kind of going out there a little bit. But don't you imagine the daddy every day he looked down the road looking for his son to come home? Can I tell you that God never gives up on us? No matter what. And then it goes on and he says, he saw him. He knew where he was. What's the next thing he said? And he had compassion on him. He saw him and had compassion on him. And he ran to meet him. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care how bad you think you are or you get. You're never too bad that God can't forgive and God can't save and God can't have compassion on. And he ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son started saying, the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father wasn't even listening. I don't know if that's a fair statement or not. Because it's important that if you're a child of God and you get away from the Father, that you confess it and that you bring it to Him. Because the Bible says if we confess it as sin, He is just and faithful to forgive it. But I got a suspicion that whenever the Father first saw Him and He had compassion on Him and He accepted Him back. It wasn't the words. It was the heart. Can I tell you something today? That our Father has compassion. And He has forgiveness. The devil will tell you that you can't be forgiven. The devil will tell you that you're not worthy to be forgiven. But that doesn't matter to God because He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to go into all different to what the robe meant, what the ring meant, and what killing the fatted calf meant. It's just enough for me to tell you that God has the Father has forgiveness for those that turn back to Him. Amen. Notice something real quick though. The Father did not act until the Son was coming home. The Father did not prepare or bring the ring or the robe or the shoes until He was coming home. The Bible says, if we confess it as sin, He is just and faithful to forgive it. Amen. Very quickly, He's also the peacemaker. Amen? He is the peacemaker. The oldest son, he didn't want nothing to do with it. He was mad at his brother. If you have a brother or sister, have you ever been mad with your brother or sister? Yeah, you have. Amen. Some of the biggest fights I ever seen was between my brother and me. Amen. That's just the fact. He was the peacemaker. Here we see again the Father left the party, left the celebration, went out on the back porch, found his oldest son, and tried to make peace. I know I'm oversimplifying it, and there's probably a lot more spiritual truth to that, but I just want you to know that God is a Father of compassion. And He's a Father of forgiveness. And He's also the Father of peacemaking. He knows how to do it. And that's where we're left. The Bible doesn't talk about reconciliation between the older and the younger, none of that. That's just where it's left. Can I tell you, this Father's Day, to the daddies that are here, this is our example. Let us try to teach our children. Sometimes we got to let them learn their own mistakes or from their own mistakes. Have compassion. Have forgiveness. Be the peacemaker. And I'm sure you can come up with your own list here just in this one parable. Can I tell you something? As our song leader comes, and our piano player comes, what an example we have in our Heavenly Father. How He loved us. I have found myself in the youngest son's shoes. While I may not have left church, my heart was open rebellion. Are you there this morning? Because can I tell you that you have compassion and forgiveness in our Heavenly Father. Sometimes I've been in the shoes of the oldest son. In fact, I am in my family, I am the oldest son. So you know what that makes me, Brother Donnie? Right. Amen. Do we have any other older siblings in here? Aren't you always right?
That's right.
And as soon as they learn that, the better off. Amen. But they have. But then I find out that I'm not as right as I think I am sometimes. Y'all ever done that? But I have a Heavenly Father that'll make peace. And let the peace of God reign in us. This Father's Day, let us as daddies always remember that we have an example to follow that'll never lead us wrong. As children, let us always remember to give thanks for all that our daddies do for us every day. Would you stand with me?